All right, so let's dive into this. Imagine like a marketplace.
Okay.
A marketplace where like over a third of the entire world shops.
Yeah.
Trillions of dollars changing hands. We're talking about the digital world here.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's not some far off thing, right? This is happening now.
Right now.
It's a huge opportunity for, you know, anyone who's looking to build something.
Yeah, it's really remarkable to see how it's gone from like almost the side thing that people did to now like the central way that a huge global customer base shops and interacts. I mean, this is not just like a trend. This is a complete shift, right?
Yeah.
It's a fundamental change in how business is done. And it creates all these new pathways for you to connect with an audience. I mean, worldwide, right?
Yeah.
Not just in your local.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're deep diving into today. We're talking about digital entrepreneurship. And we've got this, I mean, really fantastic material here that that cuts through all the noise, you know? Mm-hmm. All the jargon and all the hype, it lays out these real practical paths you can take to build a successful online business.
Mm.
We're not talking about abstract theories here. We're talking about like tangible insights into all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Different business models like e-commerce, SaaS,
yeah.
The legal and financial stuff you got to get right, you know, the boring but important stuff.
The crucial foundations.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, the marketing.
Yeah.
Like, how do you actually get customers?
Right.
How do you get people to find you?
Well, and tying this back to, you know, you, the listener, it's really important to see this as a toolkit, not just like information. We're giving you tangible steps and highlighting the key considerations that can really empower you, right?
Yeah.
To go from idea to reality in this digital space.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's really our mission today, to arm you with a clear understanding of, you know, the big opportunities that are out there and the essential stuff you need to think about.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're just considering like starting a digital venture.
Yeah.
So let's just get right to it.
Yeah.
Why go digital in the first place? Why even bother?
Well, the material really highlights the sheer scale of the online marketplace, right? The statistic of over a third of the world now engaging in online shopping, fueling this. I mean, it's a multi-trillion dollar e-commerce sector. That's not just a number. That's a massive, massive pool of potential customers. And they're all accessible to you.
And the barriers to entry to actually reaching those customers, they've come down so much, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, internet access is everywhere now. It's like the world's just gotten smaller.
Yeah, that global reach. It's not just for like these huge companies anymore. It's for you. And combined with the advances we've seen in technology, especially cloud computing, these incredibly user-friendly platforms, you can launch an online business way faster and much more affordably than ever before. I mean, you don't need this like physical empire to get started.
Right. Yeah.
Your reach can be global from day one.
Yeah. That initial investment used to be a huge barrier, like you said, but now, I mean, you've got these software innovations that are just constantly making things easier.
Yeah.
Logistics, data storage, even understanding your customers with analytics, all these things are way more accessible and affordable.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And it's really important to understand how consumer behavior itself has fundamentally changed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, modern consumers, they value ease, they value speed, and they expect to be able to find and buy what they need online, whether it's, you know, like everyday items or even highly specialized services. It's not a fad anymore. It's how people operate.
Yeah.
And it's creating this direct demand for online businesses.
Right. And I mean, just think about your own habits. I mean,
right.
How many times a day do you grab your phone to like look something up or even buy something? And the material here really highlights this incredible growth we've seen in smartphone use, especially in some of these booming markets like Asia Pacific, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rise of mobile commerce. I mean, it means that your potential customers, they're carrying a shopping portal around with them in their pocket.
Yeah, it really underscores that if you're considering going into this, you know, this online world, this mobile first approach.
Yeah.
It's not just a nice to have.
Right.
It's essential for you to reach a big chunk of your potential audience.
Yeah.
And then you add to that the advancements we've seen in cross-border transactions. I mean, selling internationally is no longer this, you know, landlustical nightmare.
Exactly. Yeah. Global shipping has gotten so much more efficient, and we have these really reliable payment systems that people trust.
Mm-hmm.
And you add to that the growth of digital wallets, even cryptocurrency, those person-to-person payment apps. It all just makes makes it easier to sell internationally.
Yeah. And it's fascinating, right? How all these factors come together.
Yeah.
The huge market, the technology that's making it easier for you to launch, the way consumers are behaving and driving demand, all these streamlined global transactions. I mean, it's all converging, and it's creating this incredibly fertile environment for, you know, digital entrepreneurship. I mean, it's a real window of opportunity.
Okay, so we know why going digital is such a big deal. It's such a big opportunity. But let's break down some of the top digital business models that the source material really highlights.
Okay.
And first up, you know, the big one, e-commerce. So we're talking about setting up an online store.
Yeah, that's right. And the figures here they're really pretty staggering. I mean, the market valuation is almost $7 trillion. $7
trillion. Wow.
And it's projected to be over $8 trillion by 2027.
Wow.
And on top of that, we're seeing about 1 in 3 consumers making online purchases every single week. That's a massive active customer base ready for you to tap into.
Wow. Yeah. And the material points out that the Asia Pacific region is really leading the charge here.
Yeah, they are. Although, you know, North America and Europe still have a huge market share. But what makes e-commerce so attractive for entrepreneurs like you is this relatively low barrier to entry, right? I mean, platforms like Shopify, WooCommerce, Magento, they've simplified this whole process of creating an online store. And you don't need to be like a coding wizard anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to build everything from scratch, which is a huge plus. And then there's that potential for global reach, right? Yeah. You can literally sell to anyone in the world as long as you can, you know, get the shipping figured out.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can do that by, you know, offering localized shipping options, smooth currency conversions. You can even provide multilingual support. And all of a sudden, your reach it expands massively. And as your business grows, these platforms they're designed to scale with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can upgrade to higher tier plans, integrate all kinds of third-party applications to manage, you know, inventory, customer relationships, even do some really in-depth data analytics. It's all there to help you grow.
But it's not without its challenges, right?
Yeah.
The source brings up some really important considerations here for anyone who's, you know, thinking about going into e-commerce.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sourcing your products, finding those reliable suppliers, that can be a big hurdle for new business. And then you've got the whole logistics of shipping, managing returns efficiently, and maybe even most importantly, you know, building trust with those online customers because they can't touch the product before they buy it, and they're interacting with you remotely. That element of trust is absolutely paramount.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because like you said, they can't see the product. They're not interacting with you in person.
Exactly.
So that trust is everything. And the pro tip here about building social proof with customer reviews, having that live chat or even a chat bot to answer questions quickly, that's really smart. It makes a difference.
Yeah, it creates this feeling of responsiveness, of reliability, and that's what online shoppers really value because if it makes them feel more comfortable buying from you. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another really key business model.
Yeah.
Software as a service. SaaS.
Oh, yes, the world of subscriptions, right.
Yeah.
And the source, it gives us some pretty compelling figures here as well. We're talking about a global market of like over $250 billion and it's projected to be almost $350 billion in just a few years.
Yeah.
And get this, they're predicting that almost every company will be using at least one SaaS tool by the end of next year.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It really speaks to how integral SaaS has become in the modern business environment.
Mm-hmm.
And while the U.S. is still the leader in developing these products, Asia and Africa are seeing huge growth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's opportunity for you in those emerging markets. And the fundamental advantage of SaaS, it really boils down to that recurring revenue stream, right?
Yeah,
those subscriptions. And that gives your business a much more stable and predictable income compared to, you know, these one-off sales.
It's definitely more predictable than always having to like chase down the next sale.
Exactly. And again, the scalability is a huge plus.
Yeah.
You've got these amazing cloud platforms like AWS, Azure. I mean, you can scale your service up or down depending on the demand without having to make these massive upfront investments in physical infrastructure.
Yeah.
And like e-commerce, your potential customer base, it's global. And And you don't always need to do a ton of localization.
But the source does point out some pretty serious challenges here as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's a super competitive market. So you really have to have a unique and compelling value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your software has to solve a problem in a way that's demonstrably better or at least different than what's already out there. And the ongoing development, you know, the updates, that demands some serious expertise. You either need to have that in-house or have a really solid development team. And the source also notes that a lot of SaaS companies will seek out venture capital funding to really fuel that initial growth.
Mm-hmm. And the pro tip here is interesting. You know, offering a freemium or a trial period.
Yeah.
It gives people a way to try before they buy.
Exactly. It lowers that initial barrier to adoption, and it lets potential users really experience the value of your software before they commit to paying. All right, let's shift gears again to something that's quite different, but just as impactful. Let's talk about content creation, the creator economy.
Oh, this has just exploded, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the source values this market at nearly $200 billion, and it's projected to, you know, maybe even hit $500 billion by 2030.
Yeah.
And there are, tens of millions of people out there who consider themselves creators,
mm-hmm.
reaching billions of people through all these different social media platforms.
Yeah, it's a really exciting and dynamic space. And the fact that, you know, a lot of these creators, they rely on brand sponsorships and advertising revenue, it really speaks to the economic influence you can build,
yeah.
you know, through audience engagement and community building. Mm. And the source breaks down these key platforms and content formats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important to understand.
Yeah, you've got your long-form video content that does really well on YouTube. Then you've got these shorter, more engaging clips on places like Instagram and TikTok.
Mm.
Then you've got, you know, more in-depth analysis discussion on blogs and podcasts, kind of like what we're doing right now.
Exactly.
And then you have these really interactive live communities on places like Twitch. I mean, it's all different ways to connect with an audience.
And the revenue streams they're quite diverse as well. I mean, you can have your traditional advertising income, lucrative brand partnerships, influencer marketing campaigns, and then even direct fan support through places like Patreon.
Right, right. And the pro tip here is really important. Consistency is everything.
Yeah.
If you're a creator, you have to have a regular posting schedule.
It's about, you know, showing up for your audience reliably, setting expectations, building that sense of loyalty and anticipation. All right, let's move on to another model here.
Okay.
Digital marketing services. And this feels like a really fundamental piece that kind of underpins all the other models we've talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. The numbers here are pretty mind-blowing. Global spending on digital advertising, almost $800 billion.
Yeah.
And that's the vast majority of total ad spending.
Hmm.
And the demand for, you know, people who are skilled in SEO, social media management, data analytics, it's incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause everything's shifting to the digital world.
Yeah. And it's not just, you know, one specific thing, digital marketing. There's a whole range of services here.
Mm-hmm.
You've got SEO consultants who are helping businesses rank higher on search results, social media managers who are crafting all that engaging content and interacting with these online communities, PPC specialists, you know, they're managing paid advertising campaigns, content marketers, they're creating all those valuable resources, those articles and ebooks.
Yeah, and it's clear why this is such a lucrative area. I mean, practically every business needs these services.
Yeah, they do.
And and the revenue models are diverse. You've got retainers, project-based fees. You even have performance-based contracts where you're paid based on the results you actually deliver.
Yeah.
And then you've got the agency model.
Yeah.
Which is so scalable.
Yeah, that scalability is a huge advantage. And so is that potential for specialization? You can. You can really niche down and become an expert in a specific area. And the pro tip here is really spot on. You know, build a strong portfolio. Get those testimonials because in digital marketing, it's all about results.
Right.
People want to see what you've done for others before they trust you with their marketing.
Okay, so last but not least, we've got online education, e-learning, as some people call it.
Mm-hmm.
And this has seen a tremendous surge in popularity lately. I mean, the market is around $300 billion now.
Yeah.
And they're projecting it's going to keep growing, maybe even hit $1.5 trillion within the next decade.
It's incredible.
And
I don't.
the source points out that Asia is a big driver of this growth.
It is. And of course, recent world events have really accelerated this whole shift towards online learning, both for, academics and professional development. And it's created this vast new market.
There's so many ways to get involved in this, right? I mean, you've got these established course marketplaces like Udemy, Skillshare, but you could also create your own independent platform using tools like Teachable or Thinkific. And then there's always the need for, corporate training.
And each model has, its own pros and cons in terms of like how much reach you get and how much control you have over your content and your brand. And the pro tip here is excellent. Niche down your offerings. Instead of trying to create this, super broad course, specialize. Become the expert in something very specific.
Makes sense.
Because it allows you to attract this really targeted and often higher paying
All right.
audience.
So we've gone through all these exciting possibilities, these business models, these different paths you can take. But the source also emphasizes that there are some essential foundational elements that you absolutely have to get right if you really want to succeed. And I think the first one, and it's often overlooked, is the legal and regulatory stuff.
This is where neglecting the details can really come back to bite you later. And the source really outlines several key areas here: business registration, making sure you've got the right legal structure for your business, tax compliance, understanding what your obligations are for sales tax, potentially using some accounting software to help you manage that, data protection laws, GDPR, CCPA. These are really important. They dictate how you handle user data responsibly. Payment security, PCI DSS, if you're processing payments directly. And then, just general consumer protection laws. Refunds, pricing transparency, all of that. It does seem like a lot to keep track of. It's not the, the most fun part of starting a business, but the source gives you this helpful checklist, which I think is a really good starting point to make sure you're covering the basics, things like formally registering your business, having your terms of service, your privacy policy on your website, including those necessary disclaimers, and really understanding those local consumer protection laws wherever you're planning to operate.
Yeah, that checklist it's a valuable resource because ignoring this stuff can lead to some hefty fines, potentially even legal challenges. So this is not the place to cut corners.
No, absolutely not. Okay, so let's move on to the technical infrastructure. This is, the foundation of your online business, right?
It is. The source talks about, choosing the right platforms like Shopify for e-commerce, AWS for SaaS. But it also emphasizes this need for optimal website performance.
Yeah. Your pages need to load quickly, ideally under 3 seconds. And your whole site has to be responsive on mobile devices, because that's how most people are going to be accessing it. And user experience, or UX, this is crucial. Intuitive navigation, clear calls to action, a design that's accessible to all users. All this can have a huge impact on your success. And then you got to implement analytics. Tracking tools to really understand how your business is performing, what your customers are doing, where you can improve. And then, of course, cybersecurity. This is non-negotiable. SSL certificates, anti-malware protection. These are essential for building trust and just safeguarding your data and your customers' data.
And I like the practical tips here about, keeping the design clean and minimal to help with speed, having those regular backups, which I can't stress enough how important that is. And thinking about integrating chatbots or live chat so you can provide, that immediate customer support. Okay. So let's talk about money. Let's talk about financials. And this is often seen as it's this really complicated part of starting a business.
Yeah. But understanding your financial landscape is absolutely essential if you want your business to be sustainable in the long term. And the source breaks it down into a few key components here. Startup costs, which vary a lot depending on what kind of business model you're going with. Recurring expenses, things like hosting fees, marketing costs, cash flow management, which is, carefully tracking what's coming in, what's going out, setting aside money for taxes so you're not caught off guard. And then finally, your your funding options. Do you want to bootstrap?
Yeah.
Explore crowdfunding. Huh. Seek out venture capital.
Yeah, it sounds like you really need to have a grasp on on those financial projections right from the get-go, even if it's just starting with a simple spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Understanding your cash flow. I mean, that's vital.
Yeah, absolutely.
So okay. You've taken care of the legal stuff, the financials. You've got your technical infrastructure in place. Mm-hmm. How do you actually attract customers? How do you get the word out and actually drive growth? Let's talk about marketing.
Yeah, this is where all the effort you've put into building a great product or service, it really pays off.
Right.
And the source, it highlights three main areas for you to focus on. Social media, search engine optimization or SEO, and paid advertising. Mm. And when it comes to social media, the emphasis is really on this platform first approach.
Yeah.
Understanding, you know, where your audience hangs out online.
Right. Because if you're trying to reach, you know, a younger audience, you're going to be focusing on TikTok and Instagram, you know, maybe not so much on LinkedIn.
Exactly. And it's not just about being on the right platform. It's about what you're sharing. Right.
These engaging videos, interactive stories, polls, even thinking about influencer partnerships. And there are some really practical steps here. You know, create a content calendar so you stay consistent.
Right.
Run some giveaways, some contests to get people involved, generate some buzz, and then really monitor those metrics.
Right.
You know, your followers, your engagement, your conversion, so you understand what's working, what's not. Then you've got SEO, which is all about making sure your business shows up when people are, you know, searching on Google.
Yeah. And the source breaks SEO down into these key parts, right? Uh-huh. Keyword research, which is all about finding those popular but maybe less competitive search terms that your audience is using.
Right.
On-page optimization, which is making sure your website content is structured well and using those keywords.
Yeah.
And then technical SEO, which is all about the behind-the-scenes stuff, making sure your website loads fast, it's mobile-friendly and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then link building, which is getting other websites to link back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really important action steps here as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, using schema markup to boost your visibility, updating your content regularly to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
And really analyzing which keywords are actually driving traffic and sales.
Right. And then finally there's paid advertising, which can give you a more immediate boost, right? Okay. And it lets you target really specific demographics and interests.
Yeah, we're talking about Google Ads, where you can, you know, target specific searches.
Yeah.
And you've got the social media ads, Facebook, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
There you can get really granular with your targeting.
Yeah.
And the source also mentions retargeting, which I think is a really smart strategy. You know, you can re-engage those people who visited your website, but maybe didn't buy anything or take the action you wanted them to take.
Yeah, and the action steps here are all about being strategic.
Right.
And data driven. Set a budget, make sure you're using really compelling visuals and strong copy that speaks to your audience, and do a lot of testing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, A/B test your ads, your landing pages, and see what works best. All right. So so let's say your digital business is starting to take off, you know?
Yeah.
You're getting some traction.
Mm-hmm.
You might be thinking about expanding beyond your local market. And the source has a really good section on navigating those global markets, which can be really complex, but there's also so much potential for growth there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the source gives us some key regional highlights to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, North America, which is really strong in the sauce sector. Europe with all its spending power, and the Asia Pacific region with all that e-commerce growth that's happening there, and it even points out that some of these emerging markets, Latin America, the Middle East, Africa, I mean, internet adoption is really taking off there.
It is,
and those could be really good opportunities.
Yeah, potentially less saturated, and a lot of potential for high growth.
And it's not as easy as just, you know, translating your website, right?
No.
You have to really tailor your approach to the local preferences, the local culture.
Yeah, all localization goes goes way beyond just translation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, offering the right payment methods for that region, partnering with local shipping carriers, and this is crucial, really understanding the regulations and the tax laws in each market. And the source recommends, you know, doing your research or even working with local consultants to make sure you're doing everything right.
So for anyone listening who's who's feeling inspired, you know,
yeah.
and they're ready to take that first step, the source has this helpful step-by-step launch plan.
It
really brings everything together.
It does. It starts with market research, you know, really identifying what the need is, validating that there's actually a demand for your product or service. Then it's about choosing the right business model, the one that fits your skills, your resources, the opportunity you've identified. Then you've got to build that technical framework, make sure you're legally compliant, financially sound. And with all that in place, you can develop your marketing strategy, launch your initial offering, and then be ready to adapt, you know, based on the feedback you get. And then finally, explore those opportunities to scale internationally.
And the source also has this really valuable section on common pitfalls to avoid.
Yeah.
You know, mistakes that can really trip you up.
These are lessons learned from a lot of people who've gone before you.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to avoid skipping those compliance steps. Don't overinvest too early before you've proven your idea. Don't neglect the user experience.
Yeah.
Make sure you're differentiated. You're not just another face in the crowd.
Right.
And pay attention to those analytics.
Yeah.
Understand what's working, what's not.
And then finally, you know, looking ahead, the source talks about some of the trends that are shaping, you know, the future of digital business.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to stay on top of these.